You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We are concluding a series here. We've been looking at the expert consensus half-point PPR rankings. We looked at the quarterbacks, the guys that were underrated right now in the initial look there as we wrapped up the NFL offseason of moves here. So we looked at the underrated quarterbacks, the overrated quarterbacks. We did that with running backs and wide receivers. We started with tight ends, looking at potential sleepers there that may be ranked too low in relation to their potential production here in 2022. Now we're going to look at the guys on the flip side. Nine tight ends I think are ranked a little too high. These are potential busts at their current ranking and ADP, where I think you can find better values at different spots around them in your fantasy football drafts at this moment. Now, things can change, but we want to see where things are before we know where we're going here right before the draft in August when we're deep in the preseason and we're doing this for real here with our fantasy football leagues. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We're free and available to you on all platforms. All right, let's start with the first guy. I think that's a little bit high, and things have changed for him. Darren Waller of the Raiders. Now, he stayed put. The Packers tried to get him in a deal there, reportedly, in the Davante Adams exchange. But Davante Adams is there. So the apple of Derek Carr's eye has been Darren Waller for a while. It's been his clear go-to guy. But then came Hunter Renfrow, and all of a sudden Carr loved Hunter Renfrow. And then Waller got hurt, and things didn't line up well for him. Now here comes Davante Adams into the mix, and we know Derek Carr and Adams have a great relationship going back to Fresno State. Adams said, if I'm not going to play with Aaron Rodgers, I want to play with Derek Carr. So he got the big deal from the Raiders. The Raiders want to use him. Here's what hurts Darren Waller, that Adams is a big touchdown scorer. We know that. He's a special number one wide receiver. Renfrow is very critical to what Carr wants to do as well in the middle of the field. So Darren Waller, how does he fit in the mix? Now all of a sudden he was the dominant number one option for Carr because they had a lot of issues at wide receiver. Now you have two legitimate guys he really likes. I mean, remember Hunter Renfrow finished as a borderline wide receiver one last year with the volume he got out of necessity with the ugly incident with Henry Ruggs III. He was not available. They didn't get a lot from other guys, including Bryan Edwards. So you got Renfrow, now you got Adams, arguably the best receiver in the league right now. And again, the established chemistry with Carr changes things a little bit for Waller here. So you just can't invest that highly a top five pick. I don't think he's an elite tight end the way you can look at him. Just again, this team did have some vacated targets, but you add Adams, he's just a target monster. And Waller coming off an injury here. So all things don't line up very well for Darren Waller to bring you this return as tight end five overall on the board as a high-end tight end one. So that's why I'm going to say pivot away from Darren Waller at that spot. If he drops down a little bit lower, becomes a little bit better value, you can go in that direction. TJ Hockenson also coming off an injury-riddled season. Now, he's a special reality tight end. He's pretty good at blocking, and he's a good complete player. And he channels his favorite Iowa fellow product there and George Kittle. They're buddies here out of the same program. He has been much more effective in the NFL overall than his former teammate Noah Fant. But guess what? Fant and Hockenson are going to be on this list together. Why I'm not a big fan of Hockenson, just think about where the lines are at. Amon-Ra St. Brown emerged as a key receiver out of the slot as a rookie last season. Now you get DJ Chark in the mix, so you have another target there. You also add Jameson Williams. You trade up to get him with the Vikings. So all of a sudden, your 11 personnel is looking pretty darn good with the Lions. And you also have DeAndre Swift, a very adept receiver out of the backfield. They have a little bit more tight end depth as well. So Hockenson's going to be there, but you can't say the situation is as favorable for him to produce. So you just can't say that to say you're going to put him as a top half tight end one here right behind Waller in the rankings, especially in half-point PPR. He's going to be a bit touchdown dependent. He can be disappointing in that area. And you just figure the volume with the catch to target ratio and just the actual yardage production are going to go down naturally when there's more mouths to feed and the Lions try to become a more explosive offense using their wide receivers. So Hawkins looked great when it was just him and DeAndre Swift, but St. Brown emerged. Now you add two more weapons here in Chark and Williams. So you got to add it up, but you can't give the ball to everybody. And again, we were looking with our top three theory there. Is he a top three target for this team? I'm not sure anymore. With Williams, I think they'll bring him along fast. The key is going to be how his knee is okay for Alabama to be that big play threat. But Chark is also coming with ankle injury. So Hawkinson's value could change if those injury developments don't feel as positive there beyond Amon-Ra St. Brown. But and something to just be wary of there. Another team that added a lot of mouths here and also lost a weak arm quarterback who is really dependent on the tight end last year in Ben Roethlisberger. Now they've got strong-armed options between Mitchell Trubisky and the rookie first-round pick, Kenny Pickett. That is the Steelers. So Pat Freiermuth is ranked 11. I like Freiermuth, the player, a lot. I think he can be a key reality player for them. He's very Heath Miller-esque, but we know Heath Miller was up and down based on what the wide receivers did there in Pittsburgh. So I feel the same is going to happen to Freiermuth. Bit touchdown dependent for my taste. A lot of short passes. Didn't have a lot of yards per target there or really average a lot per catch. He was pretty much a red zone guy here, but now you add some other options. You add Calvin Austin. You add George Pickens. You have a different downfield passing mentality here with either Pickett or Trubisky. You have Deontay Johnson. I think Chase Claypool was a bit underutilized here as a big target as well. So he can cut in to what Pat Freiermuth did. And you also have Najee Harris, a very adept receiver out of the backfield. So again, Freiermuth is right on the cusp of being a top three target, but you would say Harris has a good chance of doing that. I think Pickens could be the big slot to replace Juju Smith-Schuster here. And Austin being a big play guy that you put in there to stretch the field with these quarterbacks, and I think that's the whole mentality. It's not going to be the check down and the shorter intermediate passes. Now you're going to see a situation where Freiermuth is going to be seen as an afterthought at times in this passing game. Like, he's still very vital. He's going to help Harris quite a bit with his blocking. He's going to still have a share of touchdowns, 5 to 6 there, but you really see him having the big catch and yardage show. It's hard to see that here with the way that this Pittsburgh offense is going and the Steelers, what they want to do here with Matt Canada. Have two guys, younger guys, equipped to do that there in Trubisky and Pickett. All right, that's a look at the top three tight ends I'd be wary of there that fall into the tight end one category. We have one more of those to talk about, then we'll get deeper into the list of guys that I'm kind of avoiding right now, not having too much interest in fantasy football, even as sleepers here in 2022. We told you a lot about the birthday cake puff from Built Bar. Well, we got to tell you more about it. I mean, you can have that delicious slice of birthday cake that you can enjoy that's not even during your birthday, and you can also rest assured that you're only getting 150 calories and you're also getting 16 grams of protein. That's what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built. I've tried the birthday cake puffs and I am sold. I'm trying to get another box right now before they're sold out. So you better go get them yourself here. And the birthday cake puffs, what you get is a marshmallowy tasting goodness there, covered in 100% white chocolate. And of course, it's a birthday cake, so you got sprinkles as well. So it's a special treat that's going to treat you well as well with being very healthy for you. 150 calories, 16 grams protein, as I mentioned, and only 9 grams sugar, and it's a limited time flavor. So you got to act now. It's an amazing option if you're looking for a healthy way to get flavor and variety in your day. Again, every Built puff is covered in 100% real chocolate, like every Built bar. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it with the great taste of traditional and white chocolate. And the Built puffs are made with collagen proteins, so your body can absorb that more efficiently, and it comes with tons of health benefits for you as well. So Built.com is crushing it with the puffs, and Built.com is the only place where you can get in on the birthday cake puffs right now. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, thanks again here for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We're free and available to you on all platforms. Time to continue looking at the tight ends that are a bit overranked right now in the half-point expert consensus rankings there according to Fantasy Pros. The next guy that comes in is a Mike Gesicki at number 12. So he's the last tight end one on the board in most size leagues. Here, Gesicki again, what happened there? Tyreek Hill has joined the fray. You have Jalen Waddle in the mix. We'll see what they do in 11 personnel here and losing Devontae Parker, but they still have a little bit of depth at wide receiver here. So Dolphins could be more wide receiver centric. There were a lot about Gesicki playing off that chemistry with Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Waddle last year. But Hill is going to be also a key target to make plays after the catch. So, again, Gesicki was already looking dwindling there down the stretch. He wasn't as effective. He's a tough guy to evaluate because he looks spectacular and special at times. Other times he looks more pedestrian and kind of just producing, punching along, and not doing anything all that spectacular. So, Mike Gesicki is one of those tight ends. I think you can do a little bit better. We talked about some good values there that you look at around there, like Cole Kmet. 13, Hunter Henry at 14. We talked about them as sleepers. And then two guys more likely to recreate their scoring from last year, Dalton Schultz and Zach Ertz. But Gesicki falls out of category at number 12. Again, the presence of Tyreek Hill trying to change this offense now. There's some influence here with Mike McDaniel, with George Kittle. But again, I don't think Gesicki is the same talent as George Kittle. And remember, talent is the number one thing we're evaluating with tight ends. Gesicki is pretty solid. He came back on the franchise tag, but that was just out of the cheap necessity there to keep him with Tua Tagovailoa to try to finally get a breakout out of their now year three quarterback. But again, Waddle and Hill figure to dominate the targets here in Miami. The next guy is Noah Fant. We said we were going to get to Fant here with Hockenson as well. He's 16th. Now, why I'm not buying this is, number one, he has to still play with Drew Lock at this point. So that's a big detriment. There's also DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and some other tight ends there that you have to contend with. So it's a pretty shaky situation. So Albert Okwuegbunam steps into a really good spot where Fant vacated with the upgrade from the Lock Teddy Bridgewater situation to Russell Wilson here. So yeah, you got to kind of avoid, I think, what you're going to get in Noah Fant this year. I think Fant is a guy that I'm going to fade quite a bit here in 2022. I want to like the idea of Noah Fant, and maybe if they go get Baker Mayfield or try to improve that quarterback situation where I feel like Fant and that quarterback can have good chemistry and they're not going to be as trustworthy to get the ball downfield. The funny thing is Drew Lock does have a strong arm. He's not the best check down quarterback, so we'll see how it plays out. Fant, again, did manage to squeeze out some back end tight end one value. I don't think it's going to necessarily come here. I think he's out of that. So at 16 is about right, but I would still be a little bit even more wary of that in taking him at all. All right, the next guy is Logan Thomas, coming off a torn ACL. What does he have to contend with? A rookie wide receiver entering the mix here with Jahan Dotson there, the Washington Commanders first round pick. He joins Terry McLaurin, and don't forget, you still have some other receivers there and some other potential tight end. And the other factor you got to put in is the receiving backs. J.D. McKissic playing off Antonio Gibson here. And the ACL injury and then a switch at quarterback to Carson Wentz. Will Wentz develop a chemistry with Thomas? Will Thomas be ready for the early part of the season? He had a nasty injury there. He's a converted quarterback himself from Virginia Tech. He's bounced around. He's also going to be 31 years old here. So he's getting up there in age. He's coming off a major injury. You also have Curtis Samuel in the mix there. Hopefully he'll be healthier here to play off now McLaurin and Dotson. So it all doesn't point very well for Logan Thomas to be anything close to a reliable tight end in fantasy football. So 18 is a little bit conservative. I think you could be even more aggressive and drop him down the list here more in the rankings here in 2022. So again, what we're looking at, what changed for all these players? Different things. Teams, people around them, quarterbacks, these are all things you have to consider with a tight end because you want the most favorable situation when it comes to the supporting players there at receiver or another tight end to make them in the top three receivers. You want them to be in a good quarterback situation and you want them to be in the right direction with their career. So all these things you have to weigh here, and you can really apply these to a lot of positions. How do they fit in their offense? With their talent is the first question you need to ask, and that is no different at tight end. All right, we will talk about three more tight ends that I would avoid that are ranked in the 20s right now in fantasy football for 2022. It is a great time of year to get in on the action in different sports. We got the NBA in the conference championship rounds there, headed to the finals. We got the Celtics and the Heat. We've got the Mavericks and the Warriors. Some very good series here with a lot of marquee players. You got Major League Baseball really getting to the heart of its season here right before the All-Star break. You got also the NHL playoffs heating up as we get into the second round on the way to awarding the Stanley Cup soon. Don't forget about UFC, MMA, boxing, all that good stuff. And you even have the NFL's season futures that you can check out. Well, our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. All you have to do is head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, it is time to wrap up the show, looking at three more tight ends here that I would like to avoid in fantasy football, if possible, and not even consider as sleepers. So we're transitioning away from the guys that may have been in the conversation for tight end one there in the back end, later parts of your draft, to people that you don't want to think about as tight end twos because you're not going to get much return out of them. Tyler Higbee right now, to me, is in a void. He's coming off a knee injury that sidelined him for the Super Bowl. They've had other options at tight end. It's still all about the 11 personnel between Cooper Kupp and now Allen Robinson and Van Jefferson and the other options they have there for Matthew Stafford. Stafford and Higbee didn't light it up necessarily. Higbee has had some big games but never been that big tight end scorer in fantasy. Just put him out there and you hope for the best. You're not too excited about playing him, so why would you take him? He's down there 21, and I think that's a little bit too high even for Tyler Higbee. He's just a guy that I've not seen produce at any kind of confidence level, and it's kind of random from game to game. Remember that one big game, three TDs against the Eagles? It was early in the season. I think it was in 2019, and we're like, oh, Higbee's here, and then he quickly faded. So he's always been a reliable blocker. He does the purpose that's necessary in that offense, but it's still a three wide receiver offense, get the ball downfield with Matthew Stafford type of offense now, especially in making that transition from Jared Goff last year. So Tyler Higbee can't go there for a good tight end value. Now, people are going to be excited about this guy, Evan Engram. I'm not buying it for several reasons here. Doug Peterson's offense is going to feature some 12 personnel. You know it the way things are going. You still have Dan Arnold. Remember this team, I get it, was a bit misguided with Urban Meyer and what they did last year with Daryl Bevel, but Dan Arnold was a revelation. That was a pretty good trade that they made there to get Dan Arnold before he got hurt. So Arnold's in the mix. They were able to move on from James O'Shaughnessy, but you have Engram and Dan Arnold, and then you have to worry about the wide receiver core, which now is Christian Kirk and Zay Jones in the mix, with already Marvin Jones Jr., Laviska Shenault Jr. still not been traded. Laquon Treadwell's back for some reason. So I don't know what you're going to get from Evan Engram at all. And I think, look, people might say, oh, he's out there 24. I remember him. He had some good value with the Giants at times, but you just can't go there at all with Evan Engram. I just don't see the sleeper value there that I want to really say, okay, Evan Engram is a guy that I want to stash when compared to some of the guys we talked about. David Njoku, a good reason in that offense with Deshaun Watson. Irv Smith Jr., potential third target with the Vikings. Gerald Everett, potential third target with Justin Herbert and the Chargers in that same range. So you got to balance that out. So Higbee at 21, Engram at 24, absolutely cannot go there when there's some better values there. And finally, we talked about David Njoku separating from Austin Hooper in Cleveland. Austin Hooper went to Tennessee, so now he's replacing Anthony Firkser as the top tight end, and they were really disappointed last year with Firkser. They had higher expectations for him to be a key role guy. They lost Jonas Smith in free agency to the Patriots. Couldn't recreate that. Now you got Robert Woods, who's a very good possession receiver in the mix, coming off his knee injury. I do like Robert Woods, maybe dominating the targets for this team because he's a reliable route runner playing off the running game. And then you also have, you know, Treylon Burks, since he's a rookie. So I just don't have really high expectations for Ryan Tannehill in this passing game. Tannehill's going the wrong direction. Malik Willis is on standby to take over. Maybe Willis elevation at some point can play Hooper into a better role here as a security blanket for a tight end. But overall, you're looking at this situation with the Titans, you can't just feel all that confident with Austin Hooper. So it's been quite a decline, hasn't it? We saw him come on strong with the Falcons, playing with Matt Ryan. He was a very valuable tight end. Then he cashed in free agents with the Browns. Couldn't separate from Njoku and Harrison Bryant, some of the other mouths to feed there, despite the Browns having some limitations of the wide receiver core. So I don't know why we'd be so into Austin Hooper, just because by default he's a tight end. So we started this whole exercise in looking at the tight ends with two sleepers from Stanford, Dalton Schultz and Zach Ertz, really liking them. Good tight end factory they've had there in Palo Alto with Cardinal, producing some very viable fantasy producers. Hooper was that guy at one point, but now Dalton Schultz has taken over there and Zach Ertz is rejuvenated. Well, Austin Hooper, neither one of those things have happened for him at 25. So can't buy him, even though the Titans have a little bit of upside offensively. I'm just not feeling it, as they're fading a bit with Tannehill in the passing game. And Treylon Burks not helping too much as a rookie trying to get his feet wet versus A.J. Brown being an established target. And Robert Woods coming off a knee injury. I think he'll still be the key guy that they're going to throw to most often here. And Woods is kind of like a tight end, the fact that he can make some big plays as a wide receiver, but also be that short-term intermediate route-running genius here for your team. All right, there you have it. There's a look at all the tight ends there, with bust potential there based on where they're ranked right now in fantasy football. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now make Locked On NFL your second listen. The schedule may be dark, but the NFL never stops. We know that. The schedule release came out, so we can't wait to dive into that schedule, but you got to also find out what's coming up for minicamp and training camp. So Locked On NFL doesn't stop either. Get insights and opinions from hosts including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, and Tony Wiggins, plus local Locked On NFL hosts repping all the teams there for you on the show. There's no offseason for real fans, so make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Locked On Fantasy Football. We're also available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day, and we'll check you out there with our next show and transition away from our rankings updates here. We'll start looking at the over-under win totals there for the season. So that'll be our next show. Check it out as we shift from fantasy a little bit to a gambling spin for you on Locked On Fantasy Football.